Hello and welcome to The Laydown, Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan, my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Joe, my pronouns are they, them.
I'm Heather, my pronouns are she, her.
Hi, Heather!
Ryan and I are too much on the same wavelength here.
We just really like having Heather on the podcast.
Yeah, it's fun. We love Heather.
So when we get into the meat of the episode today, we're going to be talking about YA horror. I'm so excited. This is, we don't get a lot of emails about the podcast, which, hint, people, you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, we don't get a lot of emails, but we did get an email a couple months ago from someone specifically asking about YA horror. I'm delighted to say this is that episode.
Yeah, and please, if you have ideas, like, email us this.
Yeah.
Sometimes Ryan and I are like, okay, we're going to talk about this, but sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to talk about this month? What month is it?
When are we? What is happening?
Please feel free to give ideas.
Yeah. If you have things you want us to talk about, you can email us and we'll talk about it, clearly. Yeah. We're very susceptible. And, you know, since we're up here at the top, can you rate us on Apple Podcasts, please? Can you just, like, chuck some stars our way? That would be great. We only have, like, 4 ratings. I would love some more.
I should make sure that I've rated us. You know, I mean, truly, how often do I rate a podcast? Because
I almost never do, but you know.
But you should for us.
You should do that for us because we're wonderful. Anyway, okay. Before we get into the YA horror, though, we are going to talk about what we've been reading recently. By this point, I will have already uploaded the bonus episode where Joe and I talked about all the books we read since February, many, many weeks ago. but we did hold off a few that we were currently reading at the time of recording that. So we have a few things to talk about. I'm sure Heather has a few things to talk about. And so we are going to kick this off by chatting about our recent reads. I can start.
Sounds good.
I just started the new Alexandra Bracken book. It's called Silver in the Bone. It's a YA fantasy. She's going to be on the podcast.
Oh, nice. I feel like we don't have a lot of, like, YA on the podcast.
I know. I'm excited. Yeah, I started listening to it. It's very good so far. And I'm excited to chat with her about that. I also am reading 2 horror novels. You'll be shocked.
Oh my god.
To hear. Can you imagine me? Horror? What?
No.
I am slowly making my way through the upcoming book of novellas by Josh Malerman called Spin a Black Yarn.
That sounded really good when he was talking about it at the event.
Good. Yeah, that's up on YouTube. I think I also put the recording in the feed, but the video is on YouTube and it's adorable. Yes, it is so good. And what's interesting is that unlike Goblin, which had this very distinct and clear through line, right? All of the stories are happening in Goblin on the same night, pretty much simultaneously. These are very different stories. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if maybe there's going to be, like, a common theme or a common thread, but so far each one is very, very different, and they are all so, like, perfectly creepy. They're really, really good. And so I've been, like, savoring them because, you know, it doesn't come out till, I think, September. And so I'm, you know, it's like I don't want to, like, just be waiting all the time. So I'm savoring it. I'm doing, like, one story at a time. So I'll, like, read a story and then I'll go read something else. And then I'll pick up another story and then I'll go read something else. So But it is fantastic. If you like Josh Malerman, you will like this book. I don't know what else to say about it. I don't want to give anything away with the stories. You just have to trust me. They're great. And then the last one I'm going to talk about, I'm so excited. I just started. They just dropped the advanced reader copy on Edelweiss. So Sam and I started it simultaneously. It is Black River Orchard by Chuck Wendig. Oh my God. I have been so out of my mind waiting for this book. I don't even know why. Like, I mean, I love Chuck Wendig. I think part of it is because Chuck and I have been planning him coming to the bookstore for so long for this book, like before this book had a title. So I think I've just been like anticipating it because that means that he's going to come here soon. But it is so, like, right off the bat, he sucks you in so immediately. And, you know, the nickname of this book is the Evil Apples book. And that is where we're at. There is there's an apple orchard. It's only got about 7 trees in it. The trees are real dark. It's a real dark bark. The apples that come off are almost black. They're very heavy, and they're the most delicious apple you've ever eaten your entire life.
No, don't trust it.
Mm-hmm. It is. Oh, I'm so excited. So far, and I'm only about 10% of the way through. It's another like 600-page book because it's Chuck Wendig. We love him. And I'm about 10% through, and so far there have been a few different perspectives. So like a few chapters each from, you know, this one perspective, and then a few chapters from a totally new perspective. And then like a little interlude vignette from the perspective of like a barn cat. And okay. But they're all somehow connected to this orchard. And I am very excited to see where this goes. It is so good. Again, that comes out in September. Stay tuned because we just submitted the event requests for, many, many authors that I'm excited about, but Chuck was one of them. And he has said, regardless of what happens with the official tour, that he is coming to Gibson's. We just don't know what day that will be. But stay tuned for announcements there. I put in some pretty exciting pitches last week.
I'm going to have to ask you about those.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty. We might have a very, very interesting fall. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what we get. But yeah, so that's what I've been reading. What about you, Joe? What have you been up to?
So Ryan said that we held off books from our bonus episode, and that was very presumptive of her. I absolutely did not, because I thought we would have more than 2 days between recording the 2 episodes. So, I briefly considered if I should just review Pedro Pascal interviews available on YouTube.
But I mean, I figured, fair.
Fine, I'll do some books. So I wanted to talk about some books that either came out today or last week that look good. I haven't read them all. I have multiple of them as ARCs that I have not had a chance to read yet. So, start with The Fiancé Farce by Alexandria Belfour, French. It is the sapphic Swifty book that everybody's been talking
about. That's what, yes.
Fake dating. Mm-hmm. And this gorgeous cover of two women in pink. Mm-hmm. Dresses, and it just looks like a very cute romance. And,
yeah, that does look really good.
Yeah, kind of marriage of convenience, fake dating. Romance. The Weeds by Katie Simpson Smith, who wrote The Everlasting, which was one of my favorite books of 2020.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is another book that takes place in Rome. And is set over 2 different time periods, modern day and the 1850s, and it is about 2 different women who are botanists working on plants in the Roman Colosseum.
Like, that's there. Cool.
Yeah. And it's a cute, just little small book, and I'm very excited for that one. Juno Loves Legs by Carl Geary, I think is how you would say it. It is a queer, what I was gonna say contemporary, but it's not. It's set in the 80s in Dublin, which, you know, always love Ireland in the 80s, even though this is, Republic of Ireland, as opposed to Northern Ireland. But yeah, it is getting comparisons and to Shuggie Bain and Young Mungo, and has a blurb from Douglas Stewart, who wrote both of those books. So that should be good.
Very nice.
And then the last one I'm going to mention is Some Desperate Glory by Emily Tesh, which people have been going absolutely feral for on Twitter. It is a queer space opera with a very unlikable main character. And a lot of people who I trust a lot on, like, queer sci-fi have said great things. I mean, just looking at the back, we have reviews from Olivia Blake, Atlas Six, Shelley Parker Chan, who was She Who Became the Sun, Alex E. Harrow, Everina Maxwell.
Oh, my God.
So, think that one's going to be very good. So,
yeah. And I think as of recording this today, they dropped the new Freya Marsk on Edelweiss.
Oh, my God. I was going to talk about that, and then I completely forgot. Yes, they have the new Freya Marsk on our available as an electronic advanced copy for us, and I have already downloaded it. It is called The Power Unbound, A Power Unbound by Freya Marsk. It is the final book in her series that started with A Marvelous Light. And I can't believe it's, like, it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
And, like, this was a book, Marvelous Light was a early copy was sent to Heather. Back in, like, the fall of 2020.
Yeah.
And she was like, Joe, I don't really read adult. This sounds like something you'd be interested in. It's like gay wizards, I guess. And she was right. And so it's very weird that this new one's coming out in November of this year. And yeah, it'll be great to see what Freya does after this. But I'm really looking forward to revisiting this world with these characters, and seeing how things kind of wrap up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ask for that arc back. And I knew you would want to read it.
I have so many copies of that book, Heather. You can have one of them. I think I gave one to Mike. I think I think that Fal has a copy.
Mm-hmm. Heather, what have you been reading recently?
At the moment, I've been reading a couple things that are not out yet. Mm-hmm. One is a follow-up by Clarabelle A. Ortega. It is the Witchlings series.
Yes.
One is the Golden Frog Games. I love this series. I think it is super fun. I love that it's charming and cute in all the right ways. It's a much more inclusive version of Harry Potter, in all honesty. Mm. There are houses with witches and wizards and a terrible forest that has horrible things in it that they, of course, have to overcome. It has kids that are misfits that have to figure out how to become a coven in and of themselves and save their magic and save their town, of course. So it is incredibly cute, and I'm enjoying the second one even more than I enjoyed the first one, so that's always a good sign, I think. So that's really cute and lovely.
And I really love about that series, because, like, I often find myself not wanting to compare things to Harry Potter, especially when it's, like, more diverse voices, but this author very specifically, like, wanted to create this sort of world where, like, there are houses and things for people to sort themselves into and get this sort of experience without necessarily having to interact with some problematic media.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, I really enjoy the fact that it is put out by the same publisher.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a fantastic boom to Scholastic. So good on you. You know, very cool. So that one is incredibly good, and I think folks should try it out. But I'm now obsessed with this book. So the book that I'm in love with right now is a follow-up to Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. It is called Warrior Girl Unearthed. My only regret for this book is that I didn't read it as soon as someone handed me the art a couple months ago because I love it. It's coming out May 5th, I believe. Yes. I'm actually listening to it on audio, advanced ARC, as well as reading the ARC, which I think is a great experience. So if you folks do like to listen to some audiobooks, definitely check this one out because the narrator is fantastic. And it gives you a lot of insight into the language because there's a lot of Anishinaabe written out in the book, and to hear the sound of it is really fantastic. It actually, I think, gives a lot more depth to what's happening, and I love that this is one of the kids that is mentioned earlier in Firekeeper's Daughter. It's one of the nieces. So this is Perry Firekeeper Birch, and she's one of the twins that is a little kid in the Firekeeper novel. Again, why I like this author, she is teaching folks like me who need to learn a bit an awful lot about a culture that I didn't know about. And honestly, it is so very obvious that I should have known these things. It is embarrassing that I didn't know a lot of these things, but here we are, you know, trying to learn a bit more about repatriation. And there are actual titles in here that are mentioned that I now, I'm like, oh, I need to go find these books and find out about, you know, bringing ancestors home to their correct tribes and belongings and what museums do.
Heather, I just wrote an essay on the Native American Graves Repatriation Protection and Repatriation Act.
Yeah.
I will send you, ProPublica just did a whole investigative piece on how few museums have actually followed the act. It's fascinating.
To me the dateline that, you know, you think, oh, these things couldn't possibly still be, how they're still happening. How in the hell are they still happening? Mm-hmm. Why are people still dragging their feet? Mm-hmm. On this, like, the laws were changed, what, in the 1970s?
Yeah, and then the 90s was when NAGPRA was passed, which was like the, you this have the to do date. This within 10 years, and then
and yet,
nobody did, so. Wow. Yeah, ProPublica has this fascinating, like, they have a map, and you can choose your state, and you can see who has Native American remains in their collections, and who has made them available for people to claim and who hasn't. So,
it's fascinating. Absolutely. Please do send it because I really think that Angeline Bouley creates these great stories that are very timely, but also in the way that, say, The Hate U Give, Angie Thomas, kind of, for a lot of people, it was a bit of an eye-opener for certain cultures to realize that we're a little white around here, and I think in the same way Angeline Bouley is a very necessary author. And I don't know, I'm just really, really enjoying it, and I don't want it to end, but it's, I'm gonna go home and read that because see,
you're like 20 pages from the end.
Four chapters, and I'm like, my gosh.
We're so lucky nobody canceled this with you with like a few chapters left in that, and then the new Freya Mars goes. Y'all, we are very dedicated podcasters.
It's true. It's true. We're all just like, all I want to be doing is reading, but I guess I'll sit and talk at a microphone for an hour and a half instead.
And I feel guilty because I knew I was supposed to be reading more about horror, and instead I was like, oh, I'm reading this. So
that is
there's some elements of horror because people are missing, and they do talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me to a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Because getting ready for this, I was having a lot of trouble with deciding what horror means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. what was I supposed to include? And what mm-hmm. wasn't I supposed to include? Mm-hmm. And are we only doing YA? Or are we kind of doing middle grade too? Because there's horror over there too. But then it gets even more weird because, you know, then there's funny horror. And then there's mm-hmm. spooky horror. And then there's gothic horror. I didn't know where to focus.
And it's funny because Heather came to me with this question and I was so unhelpful because I was just like, I just was going, yeah. Oh, yeah, also yes. that. Also yeah.
That. So, oh, I'm just going to go make a list of books.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely it's worth giving recommendations for middle grade. I think Ryan and I certainly read very little middle grade, like that's usually a kind of standout thing for us. But there's definitely some good stuff happening over there. I've read some middle grade horror. And yeah, I mean, I think horror is a very complicated thing. We were just talking, I think, like the other day at work about like horror versus thriller and like, how that distinction happens. I think there's also mysteries are sometimes. Yeah. Some of them are a little bit more like straight cozy mysteries and whatever, but some of them you're like, is that where are we?
There was a Swedish mystery that I read many years ago that I would now shelve in horror now that we have a horror section. I'm like, no, that was a horror novel. It just was shelved in mystery because most people don't have a horror section. Like that was a horror novel, man. And now I can't remember which one it was. I think it was maybe Snow White Must Die. It was a Swedish mystery, and I mean...
Well, and yeah, those Nordic noirs.
They're super dark. But yeah, like horror is an umbrella, and there are many, many subgenres of horror, and you know, and that's true of adult horror, and it's even more true of youth horror because you know kids have so many different levels of tolerance, and authors, you know, they're writing for kids, and so they're like, okay, am I gonna make it spooky, am I gonna make it silly spooky, am I gonna make it scary spooky, am I gonna, you know, there's so many different kind of classifications, so I think we're just gonna kind of be a little bit broad here and kind of talk about all different types of youth horror, and just kind of have fun with it and see what happens.
I will say kind of the way I organized my notes, I have a few, like maybe five books I wanted to talk about that I haven't talked about before on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I had like some that I've talked about before, but that I broke down into like subgroups.
Oh, cool.
Like monsters and haunted houses and stuff. Okay.
And I am mostly going to be listening because I'm all about the adult horror, and it has been so long since I read YA horror that the YA horror book I was going to talk about is out of print. So that's where I'm at.
YA horror specifically goes out of print really fast.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Every time we make a Halloween display, I'm like, oh, half this list we can't
have. Half this list doesn't exist anymore. So, I mean, that being said, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about one of my favorite books of all time, which is Coraline. And this book is so special to me because this is the first book that I ever picked out at a bookstore.
Oh.
And it was an indie bookstore.
Oh.
And I was hand-sold this book. I was, gosh, what year did this come out? I was very, very young. So 2002. So yeah, I was 12. And this little indie bookstore opened up down the street from my house. It was called the Book Mouse Bookshop. It was so cute. It sadly did not last super long. It was in a very tough location. It was kind of hidden behind another business. People didn't really know it was there, but I knew it was there. And I walked into this bookstore with my grandmother, and the very sweet bookseller, the owner, you know, came out from around from the counter, and she was leading me all over the bookstore, and she was pointing at all these different chapter books and asking me what I would like and, you know, what kinds of things I read and all this stuff. And I don't really remember what my, like, reading preferences were at the time. But I remember so vividly her pulling Coraline off the shelf. Mm. And it had this terrifying cover with this, like, creepy clay model looking girl with her candlestick. And, like, it was just something about it. I was like, what is that? And she started to tell me a little bit about the story. And I was like, yes. Like, before she, I was like hugging it to my chest. Like, yes. And we bought it. I went home and I read it probably in one sitting. And it just kicked off my love of bookstores. Like, it kicked, like, it was, you know, I had been to, like, I don't know, like a Barnes & Noble before probably, but like this was the first time that I was like, oh, bookstores are awesome. And yeah, it was like that summer, you know, she had like a reading contest, and I think I was probably one of like four kids in town, right? Like that, you know, no one knew this place existed. But it was like, oh, if you can read like 10 books this summer, you could win a something something. And I read like 47 books that summer because I just couldn't help myself. I was like, whatever you recommend me from now on, I will read. Like, give me anything. So I've always been spooky. Like, we've talked about that, like, you know. So I have to shout out Coraline by Neil Gaiman. It is so, so good and so creepy. And his, I mean, God, he's such a good writer, and his imagery is so unsettling. The other mother with her button eyes, and oh, I love it so much. I love it so much. And like, the movie of Coraline is fantastic, but the book is so much scarier. Mm. So if you've never read Coraline, I would encourage you to read Coraline.
I've never read
Coraline. It is so good. It is so good. And I do think that the movie captures Coraline specifically, the character, in a very good way. I think it captures a core piece of her personality in a perfect way. But the book is so much darker than the movie. The movie is very whimsical in its horror. It is fun horror. It is whimsy. And the book is scary. And I love it. And Neil Gaiman has written, you know, the Graveyard book is one of his for kiddos that is much less dark. It is still dark, but it's much less so, much more easily accessible. And that one is my husband's favorite book of all time. Mm-hmm. He loves the Graveyard book. He has read it more times than I can count. Yeah, so if you have someone in your life, or if you are looking to read something that's like a little spooky but ultimately is like just a sweet kind of coming of age story, and just it's the Jungle Book set in a graveyard, that's what it is. You know, so if you're into that, the Graveyard book is fantastic. So those are my two that I was like, if I don't mention those, I will be flogging myself. Like, I will be so upset with myself if I don't mention those two. So that's where I wanted to kick off. Heather, why don't you take the floor a little bit? Since you are our children's buyer, you read the most middle grade, probably, of anyone in the store, I would say.
Probably.
And you read some YA. I know Joe has a lot of YA recommendations, and I know you also have some YA recommendations. But you're in this world more than us. So what are some recent, like, kids horror and YA horror that you think is worth What should people be checking out?
What should they be looking for? So, in my opinion, some of the ones that are always out there, people are going to come in and, you know, automatically they're looking for R.L. Stine's books. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go, okay, yeah, sure. Those are, you know, World of Sloppy. Okay. And
yeah.
Goosebumps. Absolutely. Then you get the ones that are, they want a little more scary. And you get into, you know, scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yes. Or still terrifying. Those
absolutely.
Illustrations. Still scary.
They made another series that's even more terrifying. I actually hate the covers because they scare me. I don't want to give this to a kid. Kudos to the bookseller.
Yes. Yeah,
a terrifying book because sometimes you go, here, child.
Yep.
I have nightmares. But Mary Downing Hahn, always, she's like the queen of scary books for middle grade.
And right? Has been for a since long time. Our childhood.
Yeah, definitely.
And new books are still coming out, which is kind of impressive. There are graphic novels that are coming out.
Ooh.
And there are some YA tie-ins that are, they've done modernized versions.
Mm.
So we'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
Because that's one of my
cool.
good creepy
that's,
YAs.
Yeah.
I think that, let's see, Catherine Arden is kind of catching up, though, with her creepy series. She definitely made me kind of go, oh, yeah, this is a creepy scenario. I'm uncomfortable, and I know it's middle grade, but, yeah, I would be nervous about this, and I think she's got a good series run. Going on
creepy
that,
scarecrows.
Yeah, creepy scarecrows.
That's
creepy
the first
clowns,
one. Yeah.
Trapped in a snowed-in chalet lodge, and you know there's ghosts, and so there's a creepy character that keeps coming back around. The Smiling Man. I think but I definitely think those are along those actually horror more than funny. Spooky lines. Like Chuck Wendig has one that's out, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like it's spooky, but you get some laughs in there, so you're not actually kind of sweating a bit when you're thinking about these characters. Another one that I think is fantastically scary is Kenneth Opel. He writes kind of a psychological and paranormal horror. The Nest is, in my opinion, really creepy because you don't know if this child is imagining things and kind of going crazy or if there's a paranormal thing happening and you don't know what he's going to do to his baby brother. So it's scary. And, you know, I think I also personally, horror for me is a lot of that. You don't know if someone's crazy or it's actually happening.
Yeah,
it's a lot
right.
of the psychological aspect for me that is more scary. But in kids you also get gothic, traditional gothic. So like Secrets of Nightingale Wood by Lucy Strange was fantastic. I really loved it. I love a creepy house and, you know, potentially ghosts
creepy
and
houses.
You know, dead siblings that may or may not be haunting you and you know, and pale children that are not allowed to out of the house. You know, it's great. Another one that's rather gothic is Orphe's Ghost by Justine Ireland. Again, creepy haunted house, kid that has to go and clean the house, finding out about terrible things that have gone on in this house and the terrible history of this family that owned the house and what they would do to the people that worked there and were people of color.
Yep.
And I love that it kind of brings in a lot of historical fiction for kids too.
Yes.
But it's very definitely gothic.
Which that's Justina Ireland did the Dread Nation, the YA zombie historical.
Yep, absolutely.
Really great writer.
She's a very good writer, I agree. And I think the other one that I was putting in gothic was Unspeakable Fears by Casper Kramer. And again, it's, you know, the child, pale, wan child, wandering out in the, looks like the moors of Scotland probably, but it, again, they're trapped in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Scary things are happening. I think those are great too because it is a specific genre. And those are usually a little more historical, historic fiction than some of the modern ones.
Uh-huh.
The one that I thought was actually very cool, though, that was that crossover. So Tiffany D. Jackson is one of the author. Mm-hmm. But she's been kind of doing these retellings, these great versions. So everyone was talking about White Smoke. Mm-hmm. And that is very definitely a retelling of Wait Till Helen Comes. Yeah, sit there and think about that, right? Yeah, it is.
Oh my gosh.
But it's really fun that way when you start to make those parallels and you go, oh, now it's not just about this ghost story. It's also, it is racially charged. And it's this problem of, you know, modern time as well as this ghost story. And I think that kind of made it really fun. I really like that she did that. She also did that with Weight of Blood. She made a modern day Carrie. Because it was being, there was a prom being held in a town that still had separate proms for white and black children. And you can imagine how that might cause a lot of problems that would cause a person who maybe had some magic, like a Carrie type, kind of explode.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought she was like a very...
That's so interesting. I hadn't put that together.
I think I did because the graphic novel came out from Wait Till Mary Comes. Wait Till Helen Comes was out at the time, and I was reading White Smoke, and I went, wait a minute.
Hold on
a minute. And then, you know, had
so
a fun.
That is interesting. Okay.
Dive into that.
Yeah. Cool. Wow. Yeah. I love that. Kind of thinking of the lighter, not necessarily like scary horror, but kids who like spooky things might enjoy. It's been out for I don't know how long now, but Monstrous by I'm blanking on the author's name, but it's like a Frankenstein retelling. And I read an arc of it like years ago, and it was so much fun because it is from it's from the perspective of a little girl, and you realize as you're reading it, she's been told that there's this monster that she can't like leave, she'll be in danger, there's this monster, whatever. Her father is very overprotective of her, and as you read it you realize that her father is a Dr. Frankenstein type. She is the monster.
It's Marcy Kate Connolly.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that Monstrous by Marcy K. Connolly is a really, you know, it is, as often middle grade does, it's like there's a moral or there's like a lesson to be learned here. But I thought it was a really fun twist on Frankenstein.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's a series now, right? There were some sequels. I did not read the sequels, but I really enjoyed that first one. And I think that, is a great kind of for the kid who's dipping their toe in a little bit. Yeah. And also then it is an introduction to a Frankenstein story, which is, you know, Frankenstein's a classic for a reason. It's one of the few classics that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's also a kind of an intro to that of like, hey, there are pieces of it here. And so then when you're a little bit older, you can read the real deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe have some empathy for the monster right out the gate instead of just at the end. that one's kind of a fun one. Yeah.
Which also makes me think of Seraphina and the Black Cloak from Robert Beatty, which is a super great series. I definitely, I like that she has moments where it's scary, but she also similarly doesn't realize that she's the monster.
Yeah.
Because her dad has kept her away.
Yeah.
But in this one, you know, he's protecting her as opposed to.
Right. And Monstrous, he's protecting himself and possibly everyone else. He's not sure, honestly.
And Holly Black's doll bones.
Oh, yeah. I love Holly Black.
Me too. But honestly, like, creepy dolls?
Yeah.
At that age?
Yeah. Also, Panicula. Like, we gotta talk about Panicula a little bit. Vampire true. Bunny.
Right.
Drains probably the carrots.
One of the first horror books I read.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Panicula. We started reading Panicula with Cordy, who's five now, and is, you know, loves all the spooky things. And I have a Panicula t-shirt, and we have the, like, fancy velvet edition of Panicula. And as she was asking about the scary bunny book, and I was like, yeah. Sure. And we only read a couple of chapters, but she was like, I'm into it. I like this. And she kind of moved on to other things because she is only five and she doesn't have that great of an attention span yet. But
That was just made into a graphic novel.
Yes. So Panicula is, I was going to say having a moment. It never stopped having a moment.
Yeah. But I do feel like as like our generation became adults.
Yeah.
We were all like, wait, hold on. We need to go back to Panicula for a second.
Yes. Yes. Everyone needs to remember Panicula because it's a perfect book. Joe, what did you want to talk about? You had some YA ones.
I do have some YA ones. So right off the bat, I want to talk about Night of the Living Queers, which is a short story anthology edited by Shelley Page and Alex Brown.
Okay.
It, like, straight off, right from the beginning, is so good, so creepy, and some of these stories will, like, worm their way into your brain. And some of them are, like, genuinely scary, and some are more on the spooky side, so kind of a balance. There, and I really liked the authors that were highlighted. Like, some of them were favorites, like, that we know, like Halen Bayron, who wrote this Poison Heart, and Cinderella is Dead, and Sarah Farazan, who wrote If You Could Be Mine and Dead Flip.
I hate to read Dead Flip.
Yeah, which has been compared, it has been like a horror Stranger Things.
Yeah. My husband read it. He loved it.
Yeah. People have loved it. I have been meaning to read it. And then there have been some new voices of people who either don't have books out yet or have books coming out. I wanted to highlight Vanessa Montalban has a book called A Tall Dark Trouble coming out in August. Their story was really, really good. Trang Tan Tran, who I will talk about a little bit more about her novel that just came out. She is a haunting. Maya Gittleman, who I, as far as I can tell, does not have anything forthcoming at the moment, but has written some really great essays for Tor about Our Flag Means Death and Everything Everywhere All at Once. So definitely, like, check those out. And then MX Liu, who has a queer sci-fi retelling of Hamlet called The Death I Gave Him coming out in September.
Cool.
So yeah, it was like, it was a good balance of, like, people I was familiar with and, like, introducing me to new voices. Another short story collection that I read was Man-Made Monsters by Andrea L. Rogers. Oh, you do. It's really good. So it is a bunch of interconnected short stories, and it follows a Cherokee family from the 1830s to the 2030s. Like an extended family. And it weaves, like, Cherokee mythology, vampires, werewolves, all of these different stories across the centuries. And it's just, it's a really pretty book. And it was just really, really well done. And yeah, like, was genuinely scary. And it was one of those books that I originally picked up because it's so pretty. Like, you take the cover off, it's got some gorgeous, like, illustrations inside. It's all
Oh, very nice.
Really cool. really cool book. Like that one a whole lot. I'll also mention Not Good for Maidens by Tori Bovolino. This is kind of a combination of Christina Rossetti's story Goblin Market and The Song Scarborough Affair.
Ooh. Amazing.
It's an interesting book. It is about a girl named Lou who lives in Boston with her mom and aunt, and she is planning, she wants to have her aunt who lives in York in England come visit for the summer, but her aunt decides not to. Her aunt is more of a cousin, like, in terms of age.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very close, and this aunt goes missing in York, and now Lou and her mom and the aunt who lives in the United States have to return to York and rescue her from what is happening, which is a goblin market that is underneath the city of York.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a good time, and yeah, queer and fun, and yeah, really enjoyed that one. Do you want me to just go through all five of mine, or do you want to jump
in? Okay. While you were talking, my brain came up with this book that I read, I think, early in the pandemic, and I'm trying to remember the title of it, and Heather, it might ring a bell with you. It was a YA, like, zombie story. I think it was called, like, Girls Save the World in this one or something.
Vaguely sounds familiar.
And, yeah, I think it's called Girls Save the World in this one by Ash Parsons. It has this, like, neon blue and pink cover.
Incredible.
And it is a zombie apocalypse story that takes place at, like, I think it's, like, in a mall or something, but it's at, like, a convention. It's at, like, a Comic-Con. Okay. And the girls kick all sorts of zombie butt.
Love it.
And it's great.
That's
good. And that just like popped in my brain. I was like, wait, hold on. I read a good zombie one. and then another one that I read, again, forever ago, but that I love so much is a very early Holly Black, Coldest Girl in Cold Town.
Yes,
so good. Great vampire story. A good twist on, you know, this was in the twilight years. Mm. And and it was a fun twist on that. And it was, you know, they've got this, like, this area where all of the vampires live kind of, you know, peacefully. They have their own little, like, yeah, Cold Town. They have their own little place. But there are all these cameras. And it's, like, 24/7 reality TV. And all of the humans, not all of the humans, but some of the humans are very obsessed with watching the vampires. And this girl's sister wants to join them. And she runs away to join them. And so the sister has to go rescue her before she turns into a vampire.
Huh.
It's great. It's great. I listened to it on the way to New York one time.
Nice.
Like, on audio CDs.
Oh, my God.
Like, had to change the CDs out every couple hours, and it was great. Anyway, those just popped in. I wanted to shout those out.
Absolutely. I also read this. A lot of these were read while I was recovering. A lot of these, also, I'll shout out audiobooks. Almost all of these were, I listened to, so
fantastic.
So, Delicious Monsters by Lizelle Sandberry.
No, you're listing up a bunch of things that are on my, I need to read these and have
No, it's okay. And so this is about a girl named Daisy. She lives in Toronto with her mom. Her mom's sister's ex-husband dies and leaves them a mansion.
Oh, I would love that. And please give me a mansion.
Daisy's mom was basically raised by the sister and her husband. They were significantly older.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to move up to this Northern Ontario mansion, very secluded. You know straight from the beginning, Daisy can see ghosts.
Okay.
This is something she's lived with her whole life. She's mm-hmm. been practicing how to handle it. The mansion isn't just haunted. Something's wrong with the way it's haunted.
Oh, no.
Like, it's not haunted like the rest of the world is haunted. There seems to be something attracting ghosts and maybe hurting them.
Oh, no.
And it becomes clear very early on that Daisy does not know her mom's whole story. Like, there's more to this situation, to her history at this mansion, than she had originally said. And then simultaneously, there's the story of Brittany. This is set 10 years after Daisy's story. She works for a company that is definitely not BuzzFeed. Does investigative YouTube series on, like, haunted, creepy things. It's not BuzzFeed Unsolved, you guys. and it's with her best friend. And they decide to do an investigative series into what happened at this mansion 10 years ago. And what the deaths that Daisy was blamed for. And so throughout the book, you don't know what happened. Like, you're following simultaneously both stories. And so you just know that, like, people died and maybe Daisy did it, or maybe something else was going on and you don't know.
I love that.
I would definitely encourage people to check trigger warnings for this one. There's definitely some, like, child abuse, sexual assault, mm-hmm. Both emotional and physical abuse. So mm-hmm. definitely tread lightly, but it's very well done and I think compassionately.
That sounds so done. Good.
Yeah. No, it's a great, like, haunted house book.
Yeah. Parts of that kind of make me think of Ninth House and Hellbent a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, for a younger audience. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely, yeah, that kind of, like, traumatized mm-hmm. person who can see ghosts but mm-hmm. doesn't really know what to do with it sort of thing. And then the last one I want to talk about is also a creepy house book, and that is She is a Haunting by Trang Tan Tran. This book was so good. It is about a girl, Jade, who is, I believe, between her senior year of high school and beginning college. She has to spend the summer in Vietnam with her estranged father, because that's the only way he will agree to pay for her college, and her mom can't afford it. So she has to spend 5 weeks in Vietnam with him and her little sister, and she's not thrilled about it. Her dad is restoring a French colonial house, trying to turn it into a resort. And there is something wrong with this house.
Oh, no.
But he doesn't believe her, nor does her little sister. And it is, like, this really claustrophobic, intense, like, at first, the windows are painted shut so they can't open the windows. And you can imagine Vietnam in the summer.
Oh, my God.
And then there are bugs everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And she starts getting messages from a ghost telling her not to eat any of the food.
Oh, my God.
And so she befriends a girl who lives in Vietnam, and they are determined to figure out what's going on and or convince her father that there is something going on and they need to get out. And it is about scary ghosts and also scary colonialism. Mm. So really good.
Man, I'll tell you, if my kid ever tells me that our house is haunted, I'm going to be like, you're probably right.
Yeah, you'll be like, thank you for letting me know. We'll figure this out.
We got this from here. Yeah. Thank you so much. Let me get the sage. Like, good Lord.
Truly. Also, yeah, Heather, do you have some other YA ones you wanted to talk about? Or?
Yes, but I feel like they're a bit older because all of the ones that I want to read, you've named a couple of them, but, you know, they're the ones that I want to read. House of Salt and Sorrow by Erin Craig. Mm-hmm. The Honeys Ryan LaSala. That has been on my list.
That was one I talked about a while ago on the podcast. And yeah, it's like this, like, Heather's creepy cult-ish summer camp. Very good.
I've wanted to read The Getaway by Lamar Giles.
Yes.
Kind of a, if I remember, it's a amusement park that is supposedly this lovely resort sort of area. And it of course, is then you start finding out who's being forced to work over there, or who's being allowed to work over there, because, you know, you get this great living situation, but then what's actually happening behind the scenes, and people keep going missing, and they're kind of being used for the wealthy's needs, we'll say. Mm. We'll just say needs.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Good. And that was one that I definitely wanted to see, to read. Delicious Monsters was one that you had mentioned there's others that, of course, there's always others, but some of the ones that I debated on, because they're more murder, Maureen Johnson's All the Truly Devious series, they have such a place in my heart, but I can't call them horror. Those are like solid mystery.
Yeah, they're very Agatha Christie mystery, but like, God, I love those books. I think I was the one who told you to read those.
I know you did. Yeah, you did, absolutely. And now I'm obsessed with them.
It's like, there was originally a trilogy and there have been two spin-off books, and I think there are more spin-offs coming.
Mm. And I keep calling all of the teen murder things cozy murders.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're murders, but not quite super gruesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Family of Liars and Liars. With E. Lockhart
and that's, I think, We Were Liars. I haven't read Family of Liars, but I feel like that could cross the line into horror a little bit, because it's a little of that, like, what's really happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's an element of supernatural sort of
haunting kind of stuff.
Yeah. Kind of thrown in there. You know, but that also made me think about Live Your Best Lie, which I read recently, and that is a young teen influencer who wants to, of course, present herself in a very specific way. She hosts a massive party that is being live streamed, and during the live stream, she disappears from the live stream and starts sending out like Instagram posts about something that's going wrong and that she's dying. And so then all of the people at the party are considered suspect. So you have to go back into, who was she really? Was she a nice person? She seemed so positive in, you know, her posts, and yet she actually was a really manipulative and terrible person. And so you think that all of this is on her, but then you start finding out that the people she surrounded herself with maybe aren't so stable, and maybe aren't who they appear to be either, but they wanted that limelight from her to, again, make their appearance seem like it was positive. Mm-hmm. But there's someone that is constantly hunting the other friends that were at the party. So that's where I'm like, is it horror? Is it mystery? It's a good question. I think some of the ones that I would want to say that definitely need a mention would be the older ones. I would say Burn Our Bodies Down by Glory Powers and, of course, Wilder Girls. But those are fantastic. And something similar to that would be Horrid.
That cover.
I do, too. Yeah. Absolutely. It's Katrina Leno, I believe. Those are pretty fantastic. So Melissa Albert wrote a witchy, I would say, horror book, because it is witchy magic gone grotesquely wrong. It's called are Crooked Hearts.
Oh, yes.
And it is about a young girl who's driving home with her soon-to-be ex-boyfriend because she kind of can't stand him. She's thinking about dumping him when they run into a sopping wet, naked girl who vanishes right as they run into her.
Oh.
And so...
Terrifying.
They crash, and the girl can see that there's someone in a pond nearby. So she starts to go over to the pond and talk with this very creepy, ice-cold, pale creature.
Mm-hmm.
Gives her her overshirt to help her out and be nice. And then she starts seeing her around town and seeing her at her house and having very strangely mutilated bits of rabbit show up outside of her house.
Wow.
And then things start showing up inside of her house. And the girl starts to have all these questions about her life. And she and her mother have a really difficult relationship. Her mother doesn't really talk to her about a lot of stuff. Her mother seems incredibly fierce and really well connected with her aunt, but not with anyone else. And you start to find out that the mother and the aunt had a difficult upbringing, we'll put it that way, where they kind of had to fight for everything that they could get, and they fell in with someone who knew a bit about magic, and not the cute, like, twinkly kind of magic, but the it costs you kind of magic, and it's going to probably cost you blood, and it's not going to take what you want to give. It's going to take whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you're using that kind of magic, somebody's going to want more power, and so they're in a group of young women that try to go and get themselves power because that is the one thing that they don't have. They don't have power. They don't have security. They're very well aware of it. And when they try to take that power, it takes one of them. And because it does, some of the girls survive and have power still and potentially pass that on to their children. But that power doesn't stay buried for long, and it comes back with a vengeance, we'll put it that way.
Okay.
So it's, I like that it's dealing with an estranged family and difficult relationships, but I like that it's creepy and
That sounds ghosty. So spooky.
It's
fun. I like it.
It's really good. What else was there that you know what? Okay, so I always kind of forget this. Sci-fi horror.
I was just going to bring up Contagion.
Aaron Bowman. Because I love that book.
I love that book.
I do too. I had such a hard time during the pandemic because I wanted everyone to read it, but I felt
it's a hard sell.
It's a really hard sell during that pandemic.
In a pandemic,
But now that we're all okay, and you know, figuring things out, I love that was basically
like alien,
absolutely aliens, space opera, horror movie, fast moving.
It's so creepy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's absolutely so creepy. Okay. It's very much one of those, like, I'm alone, but I'm safe, but I'm in space. Maybe not.
Maybe. Oh, God.
Maybe not.
And it's a bit suffocating in ways because if you're not safe and you're in space in very small spaceships or little enclosures on a planet, and you have to get from one place to another in a very flimsy little space suit.
Because maybe there's been an outbreak. It is. It's actually Aaron Bowman was like my third guest on the podcast for Contagion. It was her and A.C. Goggin for her, it was a dragon book. And they came in and chatted.
I mean, Erin's so lovely. She's one of our local authors, for those who don't know.
Yeah. Super local.
Super local, like, in the store frequently. You can almost always get a signed copy. Like, either we will have a signed copy on the shelf, or if the book you want happens to not be signed, like, you can leave it with us and we'll just get her to sign it almost always.
Yeah, we'll just text her and be like, Erin, someone wants a book signed. And she'll be like, okay, I'll be in a week. Yeah. Contagion. And there's a follow-up Immunity that I think I read.
I think I read
both of them together. It's a duology.
Yes.
Because I think she was on for, I think it was Immunity, actually, that she was on the podcast for. But super spooky. And then there's a series that I want to read because I know that some of my friends who read horror really like this series. It's The Clown in a Cornfield series by Adam Cesar. I've heard really good things, and I just haven't picked them up yet, but I probably will at some point, because even my horror friends who don't read YA like these books. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intrigued by those. And then just kind of like going down the list, I mean, the thing is like, we don't necessarily want to be the, like, we're going to talk about the things that you'll find on the BuzzFeed list. Like, because we're booksellers. So we have better recommendations than that. But there are a couple that we've talked about in the past, and I just kind of want to name drop them. And I know, Joe, you'll name drop some too. But The Taking of Jake Livingston by Ryan Douglas, What Big Teeth by Rose Sabo, Extasia by Claire Legrand. I love Claire Legrand. She's a phenomenal writer. Pretty much anything by Madeline Rue. She wrote the Asylum books way back in the day, which I quite liked, actually. I remember thinking that they weren't as... they didn't get as scary as I wanted them to get, but they're a good stepping stone if you are kind of like dipping your toe into horror a little bit. They get spooky, but they don't go too far. Pretty much anything by her. She's got a bunch of different ones. Mm-hmm. Squad. I know the graphic novel you've talked about a ton, which sounds amazing.
Yep, that's on my list.
Yeah, so they're just, you know, I do just want to like, and honestly, even Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children is really good. Mm-hmm. A little creepy, like it's a good creepy one. Visually, it's very like unsettling, but not like overly scary.
Yeah, it's a starter tease.
Yeah,
I would say, and that one I feel like is, if your kid is getting to the end or is. Want something creepier than middle grade is offering, that one is a very, like, bridging that gap age group.
Yeah.
Wise. Yeah, I had a few, like, I kind of broke them down into different, like, subcategories. So if you have a thing you're interested in specifically, like, whatever. So for, like, monster books, creature features, The Lost Girls by Sonia Hartle. Talked about that one. Vampire Revenge Story. Girls who have been turned by the same guy who, like, seduced them. And and now they have to follow him around because they're not allowed to be a certain distance from him. And the only way to free themselves, they have to kill him. So, incredible. Squad.
Yes.
Heather's Werewolves graphic novel. Maggie Takuda Hall. All These Bodies by Kendare Blake.
Yes.
Is so good. This may be my favorite YA horror because it's, and again, it's kind of between horror and mystery. And you don't know if it's vampires or not.
Oh, I love that.
It's one of those ones where it's like, who is this person telling the truth or not? We don't know. So that one's great. For Ghosts, The Dead in the Dark by Courtney Gould is really good. The Taking of Jake Livingston by Ryan Douglas, both very solid, straight-up ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, like, curses or demons, fae, maybe. Daughters Unto Devils by Amy Lukovics. This is a book that I believe the physical copy is out of print, but you can still get from Libro FM. Mm. And that's how I read it. I listened to it, I think, like, I always listen to things at, like, 1.5 speed. I think it was, like, a 3-hour listen. Mm-hmm. I literally built the cabinet that we have our microwave on in the back room at Gibson's while listening to it, like, one Sunday shift.
That's so good.
Yeah. But it's a really great set in the 1800s out on the prairie girl who hears voices. Mm. And it's super spooky. And House of Hollow, I've talked about that a bunch. It's by Crystal Sutherland, but creepy. Three sisters disappear as children. Year later, they return to the exact same spot. Mm. But they look different. And I think 15 or 20 years later, one of the sisters has gone missing again, and the other two have to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's creepy, and there's a lot of, a floral horror. I want there to be something like horror, but floral. The creepy fecundity of like too much growing thing.
Yeah.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, and that, you know, there's some fae in that, and it's very creepy, and it's set in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is fantastic. Like, Heather, you have to read this book. You would love it. You would really love it. If you're looking for body horror, I would go for Hell Followed With Us by Andrew Joseph White, which I've talked about at length. Trans, autistic, main character in a post-apocalyptic world. Wilder Girls, as Ryan mentioned, and then a couple just like one-offs that I really didn't quite have a place where. I really liked Sawkill Girls by Claire LeGrand, which is girl moves to a small island and something is happening and she's not sure quite what. If you are looking for a slasher, there's Someone Inside Your House by Stephanie Perkins is very good. They relatively recently made it into a Netflix movie, which was not as good. So, like, if you've only seen the movie, you should probably read the book. And then the other Stephanie Perkins, I also want to shout out, The Woods Are Always Watching. Probably the scariest YA horror I've ever read. It, like, actually was deeply unsettling because it is about two girls who go on a hike and one of them falls and breaks an ankle, leg, something. And they don't have any service. Like, there's nothing. So the friend who is not injured is like, okay, stay here, I'm gonna go out to the trail wherever I can get help. And then a guy shows up and this girl can't get away from him, and then the friend who has gone off to find help finds another guy who maybe isn't gonna be very helpful. And it's like very realistic, like that I think is what it creeped me out as out. Because I, like, grew up hiking, I was like, no, this is, like, a very thing. So that is definitely for people who are okay with being scared. Because I'm, I don't scare super easily, but that book, I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going in the woods ever again.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. Because I was saying that I found psychological horror to be more scary. No, you're right. It's realistic is more scary. Not being able to trust actual people.
Yeah.
Far more scary than ghosts. I can deal with ghosts. I can deal with vampires. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. any of that. Witches, okay, sure.
And, like, even slashers have their, like, they're so tropey. It's it's not really very realistic, but, like, the idea that a couple men might take advantage of teenage girls hiking in the woods seems not...
Yeah.
It was super creepy. So, definitely recommend both of her books. Mm. So many good YA horror books and middle grade horror.
Yes. There's lots of good stuff out there.
And I don't think I mentioned this for like 90% of mine are queer.
Amazing.
Because obviously me, but also because there's a lot of queer horror. And that, I don't think I mentioned The Night of the Living Queers is all stories about and by queer Black Indigenous people of color. So, like,
beautiful.
It's all...
That's great.
Yeah. That whole anthology. So, yeah. Lots of queer horror out there.
Amazing. Yay. Mm-hmm. We did it. thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. As always, if you want more recommendations, come into the bookstore and talk to us.
Please.
We would love to hand you a stack of books and just geek out over them for a long time.
Some of them may even be spooky.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick closing notes. When this goes up, it will be almost Indie Bookstore Day.
Yay!
Indie Bookstore Day is April 29th. Come on down. In the bonus episode, I kind of went over a bunch of the stuff that we're doing. Check our social media for more things that we're doing, but come into the store because we're not doing anything online. It's going to be, you have to come to the store to celebrate.
And if you happen to be a friend or a fan of the store who does not live in New Hampshire, check out your local indie store. This is a national thing.
Yeah,
your indie will probably also be doing stuff.
Yes, and they will be so happy to see you.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we can wrap up. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!